So this morning we want to look at those four verses at the end of the chapter, starting at 24. Everyone then who hears the words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. One of my favorite things, I think, about the Bible is that it's so multi-layered. There's just multiple lessons that can be taken from any verse in the Bible. Just as each person is different, and each person has different issues that they're going through, or different concerns, or personalities, or struggles, or sins, each person then is bound to see a different lesson when they read the same verse. I think that's really why we're able to have different exhortations 52 weeks a year, year after year after year, in 1,500 ecclesias around the world, is because there's different people looking at it. If we had one pastor, you'd start to probably hear the same message over and over and again, but different people look at these things. And we often see similar things, I think, but more often than not, someone else is seeing something different than what you see in the same verse that you've read year and year and year, year after year. So this morning I want to talk about the wise builder who built his house on the rock. And I've probably heard presentations on this maybe a dozen times, you know, in the past 35, 40 years. But when I read it again at the beginning of this year, something entirely new jumped out at me. And that's fun, and it's interesting when that happens. I think one of the hardest parts of being human is opening your heart up to hearing something new, opening your heart up to a new lesson. Because each one of us is different, and each one of us has different issues and concerns and struggles, we tend to think that our way of looking at things is the best way. And we often, you know, kind of think in our heads maybe it's the only way to look at a verse. And, you know, I'm guilty of the same thing, right? The way we've understood it in the past is the way that we understand it. And the first opinion I find in my life, the first opinion I come to often ends up being the opinion that I stick with. And the first lesson that I come to is the lesson that I stick with. So by default, things that I was taught as a child, you know, as a 14-year-old boy in Sunday school, those things continue to flavor and influence and change, you know, my opinions and my understandings right through to this day. And I think that's okay. That's perfectly fine. It's okay to hold fast to the things you were taught in your youth, as long as you don't allow that trait within you to stop you from considering and accepting other valid and valuable lessons that you should be receiving all through your life. You know, I want to be the 98-year-old Tony, 98 next month, this month. She's 98, Banks, thank you, Tony Banks, you know, who, you know, continues to learn new things and continues to be open to hearing something new. The parable of the wise builder and the foolish builder, it comes at the very end of what they call Christ's manifesto. I like that phrase a lot better than the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's the platform that he unveiled about the new order that he was bringing to the world. And he concludes this, what would have been a several-day event, with this amazingly simple yet profound story. And it's not an uncommon thing to conclude your speech with a strong ending, something that people are going to remember, something they're going to take away as they leave. This parable is highly regarded as the second most famous parable. Do you know what the first most famous parable is? Pardon? I didn't hear him. The Good Samaritan. No. It's the Prodigal Son. The Prodigal Son is the most famous. Good Samaritan, probably number three. I didn't look up the third most famous. So in the verse after, the last couple of verses, the crowd responds incredulously. Not obviously not just to the wise man and the foolish man, but to the whole thought. It says in verse 28, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he's teaching them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. So there's a lot of lessons in the foolish man and the wise man. And I got to admit, I spent a big part of my life not getting much past the song, right? Try not to sing along with me. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Alternatively, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went, next word, I kind of don't know, splat, or splash, or smash, or, you know, we just kind of screamed and slapped our hands. I don't know what we were actually saying, right? So build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come tumbling down. The blessings will come down, and the prayers go up. So build your house on the rock of Jesus Christ. Now, there's obviously valuable lessons in that song. We've been teaching our kids that version for years. To me, the overall message seems to be directed to those who have not entered into a relationship with God, right? It makes sense if it's a Sunday school, you know, context and you're teaching Sunday school. We want our children to understand that they need to base their life on a firm foundation, right? And the only firm foundation that's reliable to base your life on is Christ. So when I read through Matthew 7, you know, each year, you know, my default position is one that I learned literally 50 years ago in Sunday school, a calling for us to get baptized and to commit our lives to Christ, which I did literally 40 years ago, so I don't really think much about it. It's a lesson that reinforces the idea we need to base our life on the things that change not. And it's reassuring and it's comforting, but completely correct and, you know, wonderful, but it's not the only way to look at the parable. There's other lessons there too. Some approach the parable, I think, by looking at the two builders themselves and comparing the two builders and their personalities and the lessons we gain from emulating those two builders, right? There's plenty of material to look at. The wise and the foolish builders were both engaged in precisely the same job, which is a unique opportunity. You don't often see that. You can't often compare things on a very, the world is so subjective and everything is such levels of gray. It's hard to compare things on such a clear level playing field. But these two guys apparently, looks like, went out to build a house the same day. You know, not unheard of. You're going to build a house, I'm going to build a house too. Okay, they go out and they're going to build the house. And to a considerable extent, they really achieved the same result, right? Did they not? They built a house. They both finished. You assume they moved in and they were living there. They both seemed like they were able to build a house without receiving any instructions, right? Just people go out and just build a house. I learned an amazing fact. We're going to Mexico City tomorrow. Mexico City has 22 million people living in it. 50% of them live in houses they built themselves. You know, it's now granted, it's probably just some, you know, concrete blocks and a tin roof or whatever. But I mean, how many of us can do that? These guys seem to have the ability. They go out and they're gonna build their own houses. And I think it's important to note that they both persevered and they both finished. Right? This isn't the story of the hardy builder and the lazy builder. You know, who both started building their house on Tuesday and one of them gave up and sat around in a wreck of a house. They both finished their house. The foolish builder didn't begin to build and then stop because he wasn't able to finish. As far as we know, his house, when you look at it from the outside, would look just as complete as the other one. The builders are much alike, you know, up until that point. But in reality, they are wide apart as poles, the two poles in their character and the quality of the work. So the one builder is wise, the other is foolish. The one builder, the lesson would be he's kind of superficial, right? And one builder more substantial. The one more sincere, the one more pretentious. The wise builder's work was honest work. So this is kind of the lessons you get just from the character of these people that you imply about them. The honest work would extend to where your eyes can't judge it. Both of them, by looking at it from the outside, you know, would seem the same, but one is quite different. The other work was well constructed above ground, but there was nothing of reality in the hidden parts, right? There was nothing real underground, out of sight. So in due time, the first builder rejoiced as he saw his house outlive the storm, and the other house was swept away to total destruction. So the lessons to us about how we should live our life of service to God are obvious and apparent, right? Not focusing on the superficial outside that people can see, but converting and transforming our characters from the inside out, where it really matters, right? You know, working on our foundations, digging down below that surface level. And the same thing with our relationships and our fellowship with each other, to dig below that surface level and to spend some time on the real important things. The chief lesson being that we should care enough to take the time to honestly establish a relationship with Jesus and not just pretend that we do. Some people would look at lessons from looking at the houses. And I think, to me, it struck me that the huge difference between the two houses is probably that one of them went up a lot quicker than the other. So in your neighborhood, if one neighbor on one side of you is going to build a house, the other neighbor on the other side of you is going to build a house, and they both start the same day, and they're both using the same materials, and they both are following the same basic floor plan, and one of them finishes so much quicker than the other, what do you think about the first guy or the second guy? He must be lazy. What's he doing over there? Look, this guy's already putting his windows in, and this guy hasn't even started yet. He said he was going to start. Like, this guy here is, you know, putting his roof on, right? Luke tells us that the wise builder spent a lot of time in foundation work. Luke says he dug deep and he laid his foundation on a rock. I mean, can you, you know, when you think through the process, digging is like, I mean, that's, I think digging is actually worse than painting. And I think painting is the worst thing in the world. But digging a hole, right, for a house? I mean, even if your house is modest, it's got to be 20 by 20, you know, you're digging down till you find bedrock. And then you're probably not going to, like, settle with the uneven bedrock that you find, right? You're probably going to get out some kind of metal tool and start breaking, you know, chipping that up and making it more smooth and level to build on. We're talking weeks or months. And meanwhile, the guy across the street, he's already, you know, painting and you know, moving his furniture in, right? He didn't have that delay. The foolish person doesn't have that delay, and he begins at once to make external progress. So of the two houses, I think one was built with far less trouble than the other. And when you look around you at the lives of people around you, you think, oh, that person's not having as much trouble in life as I am. How come? It's not fair. How come they're moving through life so much easier than I am? Digging foundations in hard rock involves much hard labor. If you're going to put something valuable together, something that's going to withstand, it's going to require time and effort. It's not going to go easy. Is your life not going easy? Well, that's probably because you're taking time and effort to put it together. The wise builder sweated hard all day. He went to bed completely worn out. And yet, there wasn't even a stone appearing above the ground yet. His neighbor had completely completed the house, and he was, you know, relaxing inside. Wasn't he probably mocking his neighbor a little bit, right? Mocking him about his old-fashioned way of building. Why don't you embrace the new technology, these new methods of construction, right? What happens, Dave Rakich, when you build a house on something poor or even a non-existing foundation? I would think over the years, before the flood came, the walls would have begun to settle, right? And what's the first thing that happens when your walls settle? What do you notice first? Cracks, right? So he's sitting there and he's so happy, he's enjoying his dinner, and he looks up and he's seeing cracks all along the ceiling, all along the walls. Soon he began to have huge gaps, right? Maybe even some bricks coming loose and rafters starting to fall down. Now the situation is reversed, right? Now the one who worked hard all that time to lay a good foundation, he's able to sit and to relax in his well-built house, and he enjoys a cold drink on a hot day, right? But the one who quickly threw up a house has to spend all of his time in a constant state of repair and replacements and constantly working on things. The foolish builder would have had a to-do list that just didn't end. So the lessons for us are interesting and helpful from the houses themselves, right? Those who attend church regularly, but don't have the church all the way down to their foundations. And the rub is that most people from the outside don't know the difference. And if you're driving by and you see all of us leaving today, we're all pretty much dressed the same and all pretty much driving the same kind of car. We're all leaving about the same time. You can't, no one can tell which one of us the word actually got into today, and which one of us were thinking about which restaurant we're going to go to at lunch. But God does. God knows our secrets. God knows what's lying beneath our outer walls. God sees how much running around we're doing to patch things up and cover up all of our little shortcomings so that people can't see that our house is full of cracks. That's not what God wants, right? God's looking for honesty. He's looking for believers that have a foundation in him. Lack of depth, lack of sincerity, lack of reality, honesty, integrity in religion, that's not what God's looking for. Lack of sincere dealing with your own soul, right? Carelessness concerning your relationship with Christ. Much reading about him, much talking about him, but too little feeding upon his flesh and drinking of his blood. The lesson is that we need to serve God on the outside and not just serve God on the inside and not just on the outside. So there's all these lessons, this little four-verse parable, and just all these lessons just keep coming to mind as you think about these four verses. But none of those lessons are what I noticed this year. So let me tell you about what I saw this year. And this year it came from verse 4, two words in verse 4. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. And it just struck me like I'd never seen that before. The wise man isn't the person who built a good foundation, the person who, studied all the original founder's works and learned Hebrew because he wanted to get back to the root, language. He's not the person who's most academically prepared. He's the person who does the words that Christ says. He does it. This isn't only about building your foundation upon Jesus. That's a good lesson. We don't disagree with that lesson. Build your house on the rock. This isn't only about having your roots based in a firm and clear understanding. It's about serving Christ. This parable is a reminder that you actually need to do what Christ asks of you. The wise builder is the person who not only hears the words of Christ, but follows through and does them, allows them to change his life. Or her life, allows them to influence their decisions. This parable is a reminder, do we actually need to do what Christ asks of us? The wise builder is a person who does them. This act of obedience is what makes all the difference. The act of filling your life with service is what changes us and transforms us and prepares us. It's not only about having a solid base of understanding. Yeah, that's important. But it's also about doing what Christ has asked us to do. The lesson isn't about being baptized or not. The lesson is intended, I think, for two types of followers. One who simply proclaims to be a follower. He hears the same words of Jesus that everyone else hears, but in actuality, he doesn't even do them. The other takes them into his heart and does them. He changes his life to live the way that Jesus asks him to. The wise builder is the one who looks to the Bible for answers and then does what he finds. And the foolish builder, he attends the same Bible class as the wise builder. He hears the same exhortation. He does the same daily readings. But he doesn't really let those words enter into his heart. And doesn't let those words affect the decisions that he makes in his daily life. The wise builder hears the words of Christ and does them. Now on the surface, to me, that first seemed like quite a daunting task, right? Maybe it's easier just to study and read and build a firm foundation, right? But the beauty, when you think about it, is Christ's commandments really aren't that hard to do. The words of Christ aren't complicated to understand. It's not like the law of Moses with layers of complexity and myriads of rules, right? The commandments of Christ are easy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. My neighbor was a farmer, and he used to say when I was growing up all the time, says easy, does hard. I mean, this is an easy to understand commandment, but, you know, doing it is the important part. Love one another as I have loved you. At the end of the day, it's really not your job to figure out who's deserving of your love. It's your job just to love each other. Jesus wants us to love. Don't make it that complicated. Don't take years of study just to figure it out. Just love the people around you more than you love yourself. The next thing we're going to do today is what Jesus says in John 15, and it's quite poignant. He said in John 15, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. That's what we're here to remember this morning. The next thing we're going to do is remember the fact that Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus showed us what it means when he said, you know, this is my commandment, love one another. He showed us by laying his life down for us. So soon we're going to reach out. We're going to take of that body and that blood a memorial of the sacrifice that Jesus gave. Jesus clearly connects the gift that he gave us with this commandment. In the next verse, that was John 15, 13. In 14, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. If we keep the commandments he gave us, if we love one another as Jesus loved us, then we are his friends. If we love one another, then we are the wise builder, not the foolish builder. And it makes me think of another one of the Lord's commandments, where Paul said, the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance for me.